taking of cities and entire regions for Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? You're going to find out as we go forward here. But let's just watch this little clip from, whoop, don't tell me this won't work because I'm in this mode. Okay, well, maybe I could do it this way. All right, time out. I got to come out of this mode because it won't play. Okay. If I can remember, display settings. Okay, I'll just duplicate the displays. Hopefully that'll do it. Okay. Try again. Okay. So let's see if it'll play this time. It's me. So what happened? After that, she called all the healing room directors up to the front, and she instructed everyone to go back to their hometowns and start what she called spiritual mapping projects, which we didn't have a clue what that was, but all it really is going to the promised land and scout out the giants. Who are the giants in the land that are hindering healing and miracles from occurring in your location? So we started to do that, but she also told us several stories. One story she told us was about a very good friend of hers that was very, very ill. And just happened to find out that when this person left their home and went a certain distance away from their house, they started to get better. When they returned to their house, they started to get worse. And she caught on real quick what was going on. But it turns out, that, and I can't remember which one it was, either something had been done on their land, you know, like shed blood or something, that gave the enemy a legal right to be there, and he was afflicting this individual, because the individual had open doors, which we haven't talked about, but you're probably familiar with them. And, or the other thing was, if it wasn't the land, it might have been something in his house. So she instructed us in these things. And at that time, the healing room people, they actually had a team that went across the country. If you had some problems like that, you could call Spokane and they'd send a team out to come to your ministry or your house. And that lasted for quite a while. So we're gonna learn a little bit about that because it's important. When you go to minister to people, you need to know what's bothering them. Oh, I already said all this, didn't I? All right. Okay. Now, I do teach a class on spiritual warfare, but it's 27 hours of teaching. I can't do that, obviously. But I can give you some things you can do that will help you in your own home or ministry. Because we want to see an increase in the frequency of healing and miracles, don't we? And we don't want the enemy interfering with that. So make no mistake about it, we are in a spiritual war, right, with the forces of evil that want to kill, steal, and destroy. But which is easier, to facilitate healing in someone who's afflicted or to prevent them from being afflicted in the first place? I would say the latter. I'll tell you a story. I love to tell stories, but we had one of our team members was a teacher at the Christian school in town. And she called me up one day and she goes, "You got to bring a team down here." And I always say the same thing I always say. Why? And she goes, because something's going on in the school. She goes, like, every 3 months someone dies or someone comes down with a dreaded disease, and you got to bring a team down. Okay, so we brought the team down, right? I'm going to teach you how to do what we did at that location. That'll be very helpful to you. And so we're down on the property, and she got permission from the headmaster, by the way. It's important to have permission because then you got authority, okay? So we're on the land, and we're doing what we do, and I'll teach you what we did in the next lesson. And while we're there, all of a sudden we see in the spirit this translucent sheet come down over the property, right? Phone rings. We always have intercessors back at the healing rooms that are covering us when we're out in the field. And they call up and they say, we just saw this translucent sheet come down over the land. So you know you're on the right track, right? So long story short, what it was across the creek from the Christian school was a Buddhist, a Zen center. Okay, and every year they had a ceremony where they would make these little tiny boats. Did you ever see them do this? These little tiny boats, they put them in the creek, and they say they were releasing the spirits of their ancestors, but what they were releasing was demons. And since that creek property actually was on their property as well, it was afflicting the people because they didn't know how to protect themselves. Okay, so we cordoned off the whole area, and I'll make a long story short. All the problems stopped. Is that good or what? You know, so you're going to go minister to someone for 3 months to get them cured of something or other, or just prevent them from getting in the first place? So that was very, very effective. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff that happened, but I won't bore you with it. Okay? The bottom line is we must rid our homes and ministries of any hidden spiritual darkness. The enemy wants to get access not only to you personally, but into your home so he can afflict your family and distract you from the things God's called you to do. There's a lot of marital problems that occur because there's something in the house you didn't even know was in the house, and we're going to talk about that. Does this sound okay to continue in this vein? Yes? It's okay? Okay. So a lot of this teaching came from a book by Chuck Pierce, Ridding Your Home of Spiritual Darkness. It's a quick read, and it's a cheap book. You can get it for $5. So it's really worthwhile. Okay? So, obviously, Jesus came to give us life more abundantly, but we do have an adversary who wants to rob us of God's best. Amen. There's our scripture. Those are the two kingdoms in conflict. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that we may have life and have it abundantly. When you look up that word abundantly in the Greek, it's zoe. And it's abundantly. You have to study it sometime. So the enemy comes to steal that. And how does he gain legal access to afflict us? You know, Jesus said, here comes the God of this age, and he's got nothing in me, nothing to hang on to, no legal ground to afflict him. That's the way we have to be. But we don't always understand what's going on, and it's why you always have to ask questions when you're ministering to somebody. Because it could have been involvement with the occult. You know, might have gone to a psychic or a fortune teller. You know, we may have played around with Ouija boards. I remember I heard Paulo Batari, he was the deliverance minister in the Argentinian revival. What was the guy? Anacondia. And he told the story. He came up to Utica one year, so we went up to see him. And he was telling a story about this pastor's wife who innocently, with her friends, When they were in school, decided to play with a Ouija board, and they were playing with the Ouija board, and the power went out, and it put great fear upon them all, and from that point on, she was bound. Very simple to get her free, but she didn't know, she didn't understand. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you're going to get some knowledge today, right? You might have prayed with tarot cards, or participated in the secret society like Freemasonry. Watch TV shows or played computer games that promote the dark side. What's the latest one now? Harry Potter and all that, right? Even if you have not, chances are your clients who are suffering with perhaps unidentified illness or other problems have. There's a myriad of things that can unwittingly give the enemy access to our lives. So we're going to talk a little bit about it. And many of the things the enemy does are hidden from view. They're occult. And that's Webster's definition. At the bottom, we'll go with that one, hidden from view. That's what the word occult means. They don't want to be found out. Okay. I went to a some Christian event. I can't remember what it was. It was so long ago. But afterwards, he said, why don't you just kind of walk through the people and just pray for those that you feel led to pray for? So I came up to the first person. I never touched them. And they went, phoomp. I go, what? Went to the second person, phoomp. Went to the third person, phoomp. Never touched them, never prayed for them. And I said, Lord, what's going on? You know what he said? He goes, that's the enemy. He doesn't want you to touch them. So he knocked them down. I could have got puffed up and said, boy, I really got the goods today. But luckily I asked the Lord what was going on, and he told me. So, you know, there are these situations where you're going to run into. Here's a small list of occult objects you might bring into your house. Amulets, inks, charms, crystal ball. Anybody play with a crystal ball or an eight ball, magic eight ball when you were young? I did, yeah. Crystals empowered by the enemy. Every year we go to the pagan festival, we bring a team over there, and there's always the witches there, and they've always got the crystals, and they're trying to get you to buy a crystal. Well, that crystal's been empowered. You know what they empower it with? A demon. You want to have a little demon hanging around your neck? Go to the pagan festival, buy an empowered crystal, and see what happens. Okay, divining rods, idols, occult literature, Ouija boards, pagan objects, pendulums, pyramids, star signs, talisman, tarot cards, much more. But the point is, any cursed object can bring problems in your house or your ministry. And I'm going to tell you some problems in the ministry, with the healing room ministry, as we go forward. Examples. One of our team members, she kept praying, she couldn't figure out what was going on, but her little daughter all of a sudden started having demonic dreams, nightmares, right? And then it got to the point where she said the closet door opened and closed by itself, and she heard eerie noises and all this kind of thing. She goes, you got to bring a team over. Yeah, okay, we'll bring a team over, right? Well, there's many of us on the team that are very spiritually sensitive, so we can walk through a house and we can tell this is where it is. And turns out she innocently bought, now there's nothing wrong with buying a lava lamp. Remember lava lamps in the old days? Nothing wrong with buying a lava lamp, but this one happened to be owned by a witch and it was cursed, right? So when she got rid of the lava lamp and destroyed it, then everything stopped. So what's another one? Oh, cursed object in the healing rooms. This is kind of gross, but I'll tell you anyway. when we first started, and it's been a pattern for 20 years now, we went through the healing rooms where we were, and we kept finding toenails. And I go, what is this? Toenails? Well, we did some research, and we found out that witches take a personal object or toenails, and they'll leave them in a place of ministry. That way, they can astral project. You know what astral projection is? They come out of their body, and they come and wreak havoc in your place. And I'll tell you another story. Anyway, that was going on. And so we had to get rid of those things. And since then, there's been four churches I'm aware of in the Syracuse area that have had witches. We're being targeted by witches. There's a huge coven up in Watertown about 70 miles north of us. And they want to take Syracuse. They want it because we're the city at the crossroads, the thruway and the 81 north and south. And by the way, the goddess of the crossroads name is Hecate, and she's the head witch. Okay, and so they're trying to take Syracuse. She said they changed their tactics. As prophet told us, they changed their tactics, and they want to specifically target pastors, ministry leaders. So. This one, another team member. It's amazing what you find out from your team members. Another team member comes up and she goes, "You gotta pray for my pastor." I go, "Why?" She goes, "Well, he can't seem to finish a message. He gets up there and he gets all confused. He forgets the words, and all this." And while she's telling me this, I'm having a vision. And in the vision, I'm seeing a witch in the congregation, and she is cursing him. And it's having an effect on him. So I says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll write you out a prayer. And I've got some prayers here I can share with Kim, and she can get them to anybody who wants them because they work. But anyway, I wrote one out for her for witchcraft, and she brought it back, had her pastor pray it, and everything stopped. And then he was so excited, he had all his associate pastors pray it. Prayer works. You just have to be aware of the tactics of the enemy. That's the hard part. You don't understand what's going on. You understand? All right, so that took care of that. Let's see, any object can be cursed by witches. How about pennies? That's one the witches like to do in Syracuse. You ever walk down the street and you see pennies on the ground quite often? Witches curse pennies, and they're hoping the little kids will pick the penny up and bring it home. And then you've invited the demon that's attached to the object into your home. Cassette tape. Remember cassette tapes in the old days? Wherever we go out, we'd see them stretched across the road. I remember where I worked, I saw one stretched across the road. And that's the same thing. They cursed that. And then what would happen was people would come up to the traffic light, and they wouldn't see it turn red. They would just cloud their mind for a second. They wouldn't see the light turn red, and boom, accident after accident after accident. So after a while, you learn these things. And people are afflicted by that. They get in car accidents and all kinds of things, and you have to pray them through. But it's better just to be aware of these things, then you can avoid it, avoid the situation. Obviously, no one in their right mind would bring a cursed object into their home. You might as well hand your keys to the house to a burglar and let him steal all your possessions. So what if the postman came to your door and he handed you a package and you opened it, not knowing what was in it, who sent it, and inside you found an exquisitely carved box adorned with intricate images, but you didn't hear the hissing and rattling in the box. If you did, you wouldn't open it. Obviously not. Return to sender. But that's how the enemy operates. We had a really beautiful little carved box of some sort made out of, I don't know, porcelain or something like that. It was beautiful, but it was, unfortunately, they were images of Buddhist gods and all this kind of stuff, and we had to destroy it. So we destroyed it. Better that than having your life afflicted. But that's how the enemy deceives you into bringing darkness into your home. And once you do, things start to change. For example, you and your spouse might be living in marital bliss. Everybody living in marital bliss out here this morning? But one day, marital problems begin to happen. You might not connect the start of the problems with an object you brought into your home. By bringing a cursed object into your home, it can destroy a marriage. Unless the couple is aware of the enemy's devices and knows how to take every thought captive and exercise God-given authority. There's a little graphic there. They're getting married and the demon says, "Ah, my new assignment. We'll see how long that lasts. Ha, ha, ha." 5 years later, you know, chaos is broken out. And the enemy's talking to the man in this case, and he's saying, you never should have married her. You know, maybe divorce is the answer. And what it is, it's an enemy in the house that's stirring things up. You're all mature people, so I'm just going to feel free to share stuff, okay? You know what a demonic transponder is? You ever hear the term demonic transponder? My wife and I encountered it. I would say to her A, and she would hear B. And then we get into an argument. I didn't say that. Yes, you did. That's an enemy in that particular case. Easy to get rid of, because once it's found out, it's got to go. Just say, get out. That's it. You're done. Okay? How about this? Perhaps you've been healthy all your life, but you begin to have strange medical problems that the doctor cannot identify. Sometimes you'll have people come into the healing room, and they'll say, I have a pain. They'll just say, in my knee, right? And the team starts praying for her knee. She goes, oh, it moved. It's in my back. That's what we call in the trade a clue, okay, what you're dealing with. Or perhaps your sleep begins to be interrupted by strange dreams. That could be the operation of an enemy trying to affect your sleep, right? So that your immune system will get run down. So you will get sick, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you won't be effective for the kingdom. That's his goal, is to stop you from doing what the enemy's called you to do. And you can't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. So when someone comes into the healing rooms and they're telling you have bad dreams, when did they start? You know, ask questions and try to figure out when did they start? What happened? You know, it could be anything, obviously. I'll tell you a personal story. I was not overly fearful growing up, but I would say it wasn't like a cowardly spirit. I mean, I got my share of tiffs, you know, with people, but there's always this tendency to hold back. I don't want to do this. You know, I might get in trouble, or maybe they'll reject me, or whatever the case may be. So we're over with some friends, and we're praying. And while we're praying, I have a vision. And in the vision, I see my mother. She's coming down the highway, down the road, and she gets into a head-on collision. And I'm watching this thing. I'm watching television, and I saw a demon enter her womb. You know who was in the womb? I was. He delivered me right then and there. I started shaking for a few seconds. It was over. It's not hard to be delivered. Get rid of the root cause. You know, in that case, it was a fear. My mother, she was fearful. She never drove after that. Okay. I remember we had this lady come in to the healing rooms, and she goes, "Well, I have to have a light on 24 hours a day. I can't stay in the dark. I got to have a light on." And all the team did was rebuke the spirit of fear, ask God to renew her mind. It took like, 40 seconds. She went home. And the next week she comes back to testify. She goes, "I went home and I sat in the dark. And my husband came home and thought I died because the light was on for all those years." She got completely set free. There was nothing to it. So when you learn, it becomes much, much easier. So don't be ignorant of his devices. Now, I want to say this. There's really no power in an object, obviously, in itself. However, as believers, you must understand there's often a spiritual force behind the object. Objects can have demons attached to them. This is what Paul said. "What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons." Now, what does fellowship mean? It means I can have a conversation with you, right? Fellowship. A lot of times when women come into the healing rooms and they've had an abortion and they have asked forgiveness for that and they've been forgiven and they know they've been forgiven, but what continues on is the mental torment. They're continually bombarded in their head with what you did and, blah, blah, blah. And what that is because it's child sacrifice, abortion is child sacrifice to demons, Moloch and Baal, they have fellowship. Even though they've been forgiven. How hard it is to take care of that? Like 10 seconds, You sever it in the name of Jesus and by the blood of a lamb. We cut this off, this communication channel off with the enemy. And that's it. They're set free. But if you didn't know that, you get the point, right? All right. We also have to be careful what we buy online unless we know where it came from. Often import stores have objects used in heathen rituals. We have to be discerning of what we buy at garage sales and any object we inherit. Oh, yeah, here's some pictures. The third one, the one in the middle there, that's the, you see my cursor? That's the Masonic ring. That's a whole other teaching of itself. But you don't want that in your house. You got to destroy it. Because my father-in-law was a low-level Mason. He had one of those things. We got rid of it. Crystals, like I said, they can be empowered by demons. You don't want those in your house. Certainly don't want to wear it around your neck. And there's all these occultic symbols, like the thing there, the pentagram. Whenever you see a pentagram, there's a demon in the middle of it. Because that's what witches do. Okay? So people come into your healing rooms and they're having all kinds of problems. Just ask them some questions. You'll be amazed. They're very, very open because the Spirit of God is there. We've had people come in and they pour their hearts out and then they walk out and they scratch their head and said, "Why did I tell them all that?" Because it was God, right? He wants them free more than you do. So, demons can inhabit people, objects, portions of land, whole territories, depending on their purpose. They don't care what they inhabit as long as they can accomplish their assigned objectives. They can gain access. They gain access through sin, trauma, victimization, witchcraft, occult practices, cursing. Witches curse. While we do not want to obsess about demons, we must be aware of what they are and how they operate in order to keep our homes free from spiritual darkness. And we must also be aware so you can be knowledgeable and help the people who come in to the healing rooms. Okay? Kim, have you ever run into any of that in your healing room? Absolutely. All right. So, let's deal with the home first. Does your home need spiritual cleansing? There's great benefit in praying through your home and consecrating it. Consecration, it means set apart by for a holy purpose. So you dedicate your house to the Lord. Say, I'm going to use this for you, Lord. And that you can include anointing the house with oil. And by doing that, the Holy Spirit may show you objects that need to be removed. There are indicators as to whether a home needs to be cleansed of spiritual darkness. The following list might indicate symptoms of a spiritually polluted atmosphere that might require cleansing. I mean, if you bought a home from somebody, you don't know what they did in that house. You know, maybe they did rituals in the basement, right? Or maybe they had, they had brawls with each other. You know, that stuff's in the walls. So you got to deal with that. So here's the laundry list. It doesn't necessarily mean there's demonic activity, but it's an indicator. Sudden chronic illness. Never been sick a day in your life, and all of a sudden you get a chronic disease that you can't seem to get rid of. Recurrent bad dreams and nightmares. Insomnia, unusual sleepiness, behavioral problems. You get angry at the drop of a hat when you never used to be that way before. Relational problems, continued fighting, arguing, misinterpreted communication, that's the demonic transponder. Lack of peace, restless, disturbed children, unexplained illness or bondage to sin. Ghost, no such thing as ghost, right? They're demons, but ghosts are demonic apparitions to which young children are particularly susceptible. Poltergeist, the movement of objects by demons. Foul, unexplained odors. I'll tell you a funny story. Foul, unexplained odors. Odors. We were, before we started the healing rooms, we had a healing team we raised up in a church where we were going. And, people would come up at the end of church, you'd have a line, you pray for people. Well, this young man, their friends brought this young man up, and he wanted to get set free. He knew he had spiritual problems. He knew he did. So we set him free. Didn't take much because he wanted to be set free. Big difference. And the thing is, we didn't know enough in those days. So we didn't send the thing to the pit. So it's bouncing off the walls of the church. We didn't know. And to some of us who are discerning, all of a sudden you'd smell this rotten odor. You go, what is that odor? And all this. So we told the pastor. And the pastor said he thought we had three heads. You know, he's looking at us cross-eyed. And I, so I told the team, here's what we're going to do. Just drop it. We're going to pray for the pastor. God will activate his spiritual senses. 2 weeks later, he walks into the church. Oh, my God, what is that stench? We got rid of the thing then. The guy in authority kicked it out. So that was a fun story anyway. Foul, unexplained odors. Atmospheric heaviness make it hard to believe. One of those churches that had the witches assigned, a lot of churches have witches assigned to them. You just don't know it. She got saved. And she fessed up and said, I was sent to your church because I have the ability to change the atmosphere. And not for the good. Okay? But she got saved. Praise God. Continual nausea and headaches. So if you or your client that you're ministering to in the healing room is experiencing any of these on an ongoing basis, ask the Lord. That's always a good policy, you know. You can ask them. What do the disciples say? Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, I don't know how to pray for this person. Lord, teach me to pray. He's very good at answering that prayer. Ask the Lord, and this works too, to reveal any spiritual darkness that may be hidden in the home or occult practices that may have unwittingly been participated in. You can pray a very simple prayer like this. Lord, we ask you to bring out of the darkness into the light what you want us to deal with. He's very good about doing that. Because he gives us authority over all the power of the enemy. He's a far greater than any force that might try to come against you. There's no need to fear being aware of a dark side, and how it may be affecting a person or a home is the first step in ridding a home of spiritual darkness. As mentioned earlier, marital problems are often caused by hidden demonic activity. That's why we should examine what we own. It should own with spiritual discernment. Several examples in the Bible where disaster occurred because of possessing unholy objects. One instance was Rachel dying while giving birth to Benjamin. What was the cause of her premature death? Jacob fled from Laban when Laban caught up with him and accused him of stealing some household gods. Jacob said, with whomever you find your gods, do not let them live. in the presence of our brethren. Identify what I have of yours and take it back. Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the household gods and put them in her camel's saddle. When Laban was searching for the objects linked to his idolatrous form of worship, Rachel pretended to be in her monthly period and actually sat on the household gods. She was not willing to let go of the old form of worship linked to her father. As a result, she died prematurely. You know, similar story in Joshua chapter 7. Israel experienced defeat at the Battle of Ai, which occurred immediately after a great victory in Jericho. Achan, despite God's warnings, did not take any cursed object. He took and hid several forbidden objects. As a result, Israel was defeated. Achan and his whole family were destroyed because of his sin. So cursed objects, long story short, can bring unrest and torment into a home. So we must search our home and ask the Lord to show you anything that needs to be dealt with. There can be books, occult books, anything like that. We had some friends, they bought a house. Turns out their house used to be owned by, can I remember this, the Goodfellows or something like that? It's a branch of the Masonic. And they kept seeing these orbs. They were bothering them, you know, these bright orbs were like floating through the air. So once we found out what it was from, it was simple to get rid of it. Hidden, right? So they made atonement for the land. The blood, Bible says only blood can make atonement for blood. So if you got shed blood, guess what? You make atonement with the blood of Christ. It says in Revelation chapter 1, you're a New Testament priest. And the Bible is very clear. You're supposed to engage in the ministry of the sprinkling of blood. That's what the Bible says. You're a New Testament priest. You're also a king, so you can command, right? Because you're a king, but you sprinkle the blood of Christ. It makes atonement for the shed blood that may have been on your land. You know, they used to, well, I'll get to that later. Never mind. Here's five categories of such objects, okay, that can bring problems into your home or your life. Idols, obviously. God hates idols. Although it may be out of ignorance, it's surprising to realize how many Christians have such items in their homes. You shall not make for yourself any carved image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that is in the earth below, or that is in the water under the earth. So, you know, you might have some little figurine, some good luck charm, lucky charms, or, you know, whatever, some good luck charm, you know, those are not good. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to have those in your home. These objects include, obviously, Buddhas, Hindu images, any image of God. Do you know what yoga is? Yoga? Those are worship positions to Brahman. The goal of the Hindu is to be yoked, hence the word yoga, to be yoked with Brahman, their concept of God, and also Shiva the Destroyer. So you want to be yoked with Shiva the Destroyer? Participate in yoga, and there's no such thing as Christian yoga, okay? Just go do exercises, you'll be fine. So, you have those kind of things, let's see. Any other image? Yeah, okay. On trips, many people collect these type of artifacts as souvenirs without truly understanding their significance. False religious objects or materials related to false religions. There's some listed there for you. Occult objects, obviously. Anything related to the occult must be destroyed. And we covered a lot of those already. We went to another house, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. It turns out, up in the attic, unbeknownst to them, they found all kinds of occult books that were hidden up in the attic. And they had to get rid of those, burned them, took care of that. We got invited to a friend's house. This is bizarre. Let me tell you this quick story. I like to tell. Can you tell I like to tell stories? I just like to tell stories. Anyway, we go to her house and we go, what's the problem? She goes, every time me and my daughters walk down, not every time, but we walk down the hall, by the time we get to the other end of the hall, we got super glue in our hair. I go, what? Yeah, super glue would spontaneously appear in their hair. I go, what? Anyway, she goes, if you go into the bathroom when the shower's been running, there's writing on the mirror. You know what the writing said? We want your hair. Oh, well, you got super glue in your hair. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. You have to cut it out, right? Turns out there was a coven up in their area, and they used the hair for rituals. Can you believe this? So he says, we'll take care of that. That'll be easy, right? So we did what we normally do, and nothing worked. And I go, well, Lord, nothing's working. Why isn't it working? Because it's a human spirit. The witches were astral projecting in, and because it's a human spirit, you have no authority over them. You have to ask God to send you angels to help, which is what we did. We called them link angels. They linked arms around, and all the stuff stopped. And she'd have things moving, too, by the way. Things on the fireplace, they'd move. Okay? Secret society objects, we talked about a bunch of those, Freemasonry, you know, all that kind of stuff. So you can't have those in your house because demons attached to those things. And other objects. Our homes may be filled with other items that do not bring glory to God and may attract demonic activity. How about some of these games? You got some old games like Masters of the Universe, Dungeons and Dragons, that kind of thing. You know, they got to go. Obviously, pornography, illegal drugs, all that. By allowing any of these into our homes, we give the enemy legal right to invade our lives because we invited it in. Okay? C. Peter Wagner, author of several books on the demonic, encouraged us to ask the following questions. Might this open me to direct demonic influence? Does this give any appearance of evil? Does this glorify God? So if you can get by those three questions, you're probably pretty good. Now here's 10 steps to ridding your home of spiritual darkness, as written by Dr. Chuck Pierce. You know Chuck Pierce? He's been around for a while, yeah. Okay, there's the 10 steps. We can just broad brush them here real quick. Obviously, you got to be born again or you won't have any authority, all right, over the dark side. So accept Jesus. And then in order to remove demonic forces and keep them out, we must be willing to deal with sin issues in our lives. And when we rid our lives of sin, demonic forces don't have a legal right that they once had to occupy our lives or our homes. However, if we go through these steps to protect our homes from demonic forces without making our lives right before God, we might actually make our situation worse. Then dedicate your home to the Lord, if that's where you're having problems. The same with the healing rooms. Dedicate it to the Lord. Invite the presence of the Lord into your home. At our healing room, I don't know what you do, but we have worship music playing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And the demons don't like that. Too bad. Anyway, what does that do? Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. Actually, more correctly translated, it said God is enthroned on the praises of his people. And you want him enthroned in your healing room as king, right? Because kings command. Anyway, we had a couple come in for prayer. And the gentleman, he had cancer. And the wife just came to support him. So he's, they're ministering to the man. And when they got time to go, they left. And then, I can't remember, it was the same week maybe, I can't remember. But anyway, she came up to the desk, and she goes like this. I go, okay. and she goes, you don't understand. I go, no, I don't understand. She goes, I got a titanium plate in my neck with 8 titanium screws. I haven't been able to turn my neck to the right in 5 years. And she didn't get ministry. She sat in the presence of God and she got healed. Real important. That was a great story. And then prepare for battle. Right? What we are engaged in is spiritual warfare. We're warring in the heavenlies to establish our homes for the Lord and declare them off limits to the powers of darkness. Now, how much you want me to tell you about this stuff? I could tell you a little bit. I could tell you about our house. We bought the property for our house. It's on high ground. High ground, okay? So we have an intercessor friend who is one of these people that, couldn't turn it off. She's constantly seeing into the spirit realm, you know, and she says one day to us, she goes, I couldn't live where you live. I go, well, why not? She goes, too much activity. She says, I wouldn't be able to sleep. So I says, okay, well, then I guess we better do some praying around our house and all that. So the day came, and we're gonna clean our house out and clean the property, and we're doing warfare. And I see on the side of the house, I see like a hand grabbing onto the house, if you will. It wasn't a nice-looking hand either. And so we're praying, and we're doing the warfare, and all of a sudden one of the fingers goes, let's go. Phone rings. It's her. She wouldn't come up. She's afraid. But she saw it, and she goes, one of the fingers just let go. And we're going back and forth with this. right? And I'm seeing, finally, we get rid of the thing. And I go, the phone's going to ring. Phone rings, it's her. It's over. It's all done. Okay, so high ground. They like high ground because high ground is where a lot of demonic stuff takes place, like witches and covens and Satanists. They like to do it on high ground. Okay? So anyway, that's the story in my house. Also, I'll tell you the good thing. She come up one day and she looks around the house and she's looking really confused and quizzical. And I go, "What's wrong? What's going on?" She goes, "I don't understand it." And I go, "What don't you understand?" She goes, "There's a quadruple hedgerow protection around your home." She didn't know I prayed that every day. Exactly that for a quad. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Okay, so we have fun. When people want to start new healing rooms, I tell them, you're going to have such fun. And they look at me like, the Watertown people, when they started theirs, they were real quizzical, you know. I said, look, you're going to have fun. I'm serious. Well, after about 3-4 months, I asked them, are you having fun yet? Oh, yeah, we're having fun. We wouldn't have it any other way. We love this. They had a tough case up in Watertown. They had this woman come in, and she was in tremendous pain all over her body, not one place, but all over her body. She'd say it was like a 9 or a 10 level pain. And they'd minister to her, and the pain would greatly lessen, but she'd leave and go home, and they'd come right back. And this went on for a while. So I'm having lunch with them. My wife and I are having lunch with them, and they're telling us the story. And while they're telling us the story, I'm watching television, if you know what I'm saying. I'm watching television, and I heard the Lord. Here's what it was. 11 generations back. Now, how are you going to know this? You can't. 11 generations back, the man made a covenant with the devil. And I heard the Lord say, father's side, 11 generations. Now, it's only supposed to be 3 or 4, but let's say it gets to the 4th generation and the sin's repeated. Then it's empowered for another 3 or 4 generations. Long story short, I didn't have to deal with it. So I'm chuckling with them. I go, you go back and deal with it. I'm laughing with them. And there was no problem at all. They took care of her. She got completely healed. So you have to know. You have to understand what you're dealing with. So just ask the Lord. He's really gracious. He'll tell you what you're dealing with. So ask the Lord for the strategy for your war. He may lead you to pray praise music. Play praise music throughout your home. He may lead you to read specific scriptures in each room. Expect that he will answer your prayer and show you how to proceed. Plead, as the old term, sprinkle the blood of Jesus over yourself, your family, your animals, and your property. Pray Psalm 91 out loud. I'm sure a lot of us did that during the height of COVID. And in Jesus' name, bind any demonic forces from manifesting in your home during the process. Take a spiritual inventory. Ask the Lord to give you the discernment you'll need as you go through your house. And is there anything here I need to deal with? Cleanse your home of ungodly objects, obviously. You know, you get something at the garage sale, it's not good, destroy it. Don't give it to somebody else. Don't pass on the problem, okay? Destroy it. Let's see. Then cleanse each room and cleanse the land. After cleansing your home of ungodly objects, the next step is to cleanse the spiritual atmosphere of each room, because demonic forces not attached to an object but in the home because of sin or trauma that occurred there need to be dealt with. Go through each room in your house, repent for any known sin that's been committed, and then eject the thing. Consecrate your home and property. Once you've completed the first 7 steps, now it's time to go through your home, room by room, and consecrate each one to the Lord. Speak specific blessings in each room. Many people who consecrate their home room by room use oil to anoint the doors, windows, and furnishings. Oil is used as a symbol of Jesus' blood, a reminder of both the cleansing and protecting power of his blood. Oil is also represents the presence of the Holy Spirit. So use oil. I always anoint the mirrors. There's something you'll learn over the years. Witches like mirrors, like mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? They use them as portals. Okay, so I always anoint the mirrors. And then fill your home with glory. Fill your home with objects and activities that bring glory to God. Jack Hayford offered this list of practices. Take communion with your family at home. Sing, let your home be filled with song of the Lord. Pray as a family. Testify about the good things of God. Speak God's word in your home. and then maintain your spiritual victory. Home or ministry, doesn't matter, same thing. It's a good idea to go through your home periodically, check for any new objects that should not be in your home, or pray through any new sin issues that have come up. And in addition, plan on consecrating the rooms of your house and walking the perimeter of your property at least once a year. Walk around your home. Put a bloodline of Jesus Christ around it. The enemy cannot penetrate the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Can't do it. I don't let crows on my property either. And they generally don't even try to pass the boundary line. So, I got a prayer here. You want to say this prayer with me? Why don't you stand up and we'll say this prayer together. It's not going to hurt you, that's for sure. You ready? In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirits of deception, mind-binding, antichrist, divination, false religion, sorcery, unbelief, witchcraft, necromancy, and any other spirit that has gained influence in my life through my or my ancestors' participation in the occult. Lord Jesus, I confess seeking from Satan and his kingdom the help that should have come from God Almighty. I confess as sin anything you can think of, you know, Ouija boards, psychics, whatever, all that kind of thing, and even those I do not remember. Lord, I repent of and renounce these sins and ask you to forgive me. Lord, I honor my earthly father and mother and all my ancestors of flesh and blood, adoptive or step-parents, but I utterly turn away from and renounce any of their ungodly practices, sins, and iniquities. I forgive and release all my ancestors for the effect of their sins on me and my children. I take accountability for the sins that came through my family bloodlines back to the fourth generation and to the tenth generation for sexual sins, whether known or unknown. In Jesus' name, I rebuke Satan. I command any and all of his unholy spirits to leave me now, to go to the pit and never return to me or to my descendants. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take back any ground I or anyone in my bloodline have given Satan through the sin of occult. In the name of Jesus, I now close the door to all occult practices. I declare, Lord, you are a God of restoration, and that everyone who calls upon your name shall be sozoed, saved, healed, delivered, restored, and set free to your glory. I ask you to restore what the locusts have eaten in my life and in my bloodline. I now ask you, Lord, to help me grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. So, Father, I ask you to go through this place right now. Commit any unclean spirit to the pit, Lord God. We just sprinkle the blood of Christ on each of us and around this property, Lord God, that the enemy cannot even approach. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You feel better now? Amen. How long did that take? You want to take a break or keep going? Yeah, how about a 5-minute stretch break, and then we'll do one more lesson, and then we'll do lunch. Is that good? Enjoy that? All right. Good.